You know, one of the things I love is just seeing and thinking about all the different kids that have come through our children's ministry and have heard the gospel and they've responded by faith. And to see them go through the waters of baptism is powerful. And so today we talk about parenting, but it's called an uncommon decision. And so today we're going to be talking about making good decisions. Uncommon decision. One of the things that we deal with in this world is it's tough to be a parent. Parenting changes a lot. This first statement says, deciding to raise our children based on God's Word. That's an uncommon decision. And so it's an uncommon decision to raise our kids based on the Word of God. Because here's the thing is, we understand that there's a lot of peer pressure and a lot of politically correct things and a lot of different ways of going about things. And so what we have decided here at Journey Church is that we want to do everything we can based on God's Word. God's Word says that, you know, that God is a loving Father. He cares about His children. And if anybody knows anything about parenting, it would be God the Father. He created us. He spoke us into existence. But the thing is He is a loving Father. He is a caring Father. And so for us as fathers in this room, and I would even say the mothers, you can learn from God's example of how to parent. He is a loving, caring parent. He's Father to the fatherless. And so whenever we read the Scriptures and we see how God has gone about teaching and rebuking and how He has handled, you know, blessing and caring, then it's a great example for us to draw from. And so deciding to raise our children based on God's Word is a uncommon decision. And let me just say what I mean by that. There's lots of good intending Christian parents who say, well, you know, I'm going to raise my kids the way that God wants me to, or God's Word wants me to, but we don't always read God's Word. We go find some book or we watch some TV show and the latest, greatest, and used to back in the day it would have been Oprah. Now it may be Dr. Oz, or maybe it's, you know, Dr. Phil or some other TV show or some kind of talk show. We hear them talk about, hey, this is how you ought to raise your parents or your kids. This is how you ought to be parenting your children. And we go, oh, that sounds so good. And it tickles our ear. And all of a sudden we go buy that book or we go to that website. And before you know it, that's the pattern that we're watching or we're following rather than God's Word. And so here's, you know, we have to understand that the pattern that we have to be willing to say, this is how I want to raise my children, would be the best one. And that would be God's Word. So look at what it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so God wants to, you know, He wants you to be the best parent that you can be. He wants you to do His will. He wants you to know His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And here's the thing, you being in God's will is one of the greatest gifts you could give your kid. Greatest thing that you could model for your children is to be in the center of God's will. And so the thing is we have to understand, you know what, the pattern of this world may be a little bit different. And so it may be intriguing, it may even sound good, but we've got to be willing to say, you know what, God, I want to follow your pattern. And so this next statement says, before we can be we can raise uncommon kids, we must be uncommon parents. We must be uncommon parents. In other words, we've got to be willing to do things a little bit different. Maybe even different from how our friends do things. And there's some of you that you got great friends, but your friends, you know, have decided, hey, this is how we're going to raise our kids. And it may not follow the pattern of God's Word, may not follow Scripture, but you know what? You feel like, man, they have such a loving family. They seem like a great family. But, you know, the thing is everything seems better whenever you're watching it from a distance. You know, it's like you always wonder, do my kids really get anything that I tell them? And they go off and they stay with somebody else, and the other people talk about, man, your kids are so manly. They did such a great job. And, you know, and all this that they do, they're like, well, how come they don't do that at home, you know? You know, and so you kind of wonder, are they getting any of this? But the thing is we often, you know, we look at Facebook here's the thing, most everybody, I know there's some people go on their rants and some people, you know, probably share more than they should, but a lot of people, it always seems picture perfect. Everybody, you know, we did this, hey, we didn't take enough pictures, let me take a few more pictures and post, you know, a few more hundred pictures on Facebook. And we all, it looks like, man, their family's perfect. No, they're not. There's no such thing as a perfect family. Yeah, you know, there's no perfect parents. There's no perfect kids. You know, so we need to get our mind around that. You know what? This is a work in progress. One of the toughest jobs in life is to be a parent. It's one of the toughest jobs. And so the thing is if we're going to be uncommon, if we're going to have uncommon kids, we have to be uncommon parents. Because our kids learn so much from us, don't they? I mean, they look it to us, and you might say, well, you know, God can change the pattern that I have lived out in front of them. You're right, because He changes you. And the more that God changes me, the more that God transforms me, and the only way that happens is me adhering to God's Word, learning from God's Word, submitting and surrendering to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit changing me makes me a different person. Therefore, my kids will learn a different pattern than maybe the one that I was given. But there's some of us in this room that we didn't have the best parents. You know, and we look back and we go, you know, my dad wasn't a Christian. My mom wasn't a Christian. And so maybe there's some things that we look back and we go, you know what? I don't have a good model. You do in here. This is the book we ought to be looking to. God's Word. Looking into the Scriptures. Looking into here. And maybe we didn't have the best pattern here in this world from our parents, but we do have God's pattern. That song that we just got through singing a few minutes ago, that last song, that He never leaves us. There's some of you in this room that, man, you're struggling with abandonment because someone did leave you. Maybe your dad checked out. Maybe your mom checked out. And even me talking about parenting is kind of opening up some wounds, and you're sitting there going, you know what, I didn't have good parents. Or maybe you weren't a good parent. Maybe it's time to change. You know, maybe up until this point you haven't been doing things right. Maybe y'all tried doing things according to God's Word. Maybe everything else that you've tried has not been working, but maybe it's time to try something new. Try God's Word. And so whatever those things may be, we've had people walk out on us. You know, and I know for some people, abandonment is one of the biggest things that they wrestle with. They wrestle with that wound. And sometimes it will affect them for a lifetime unless we allow God to heal us and we allow God to change us and we allow us to forgive. God, you know, we have to choose to forgive someone who maybe has abandoned us. But God never leaves us. He never abandons. He's always there. He walks with us. And so let's look at what it says here. It says, deciding as parents to trust God to guide us and trust Him enough to follow His teaching. That's an uncommon decision. Deciding as parents to trust God to guide us. So here's the thing. We're saying, I'm going to trust God to guide me. I'm going to trust God to give us direction. I'm going to trust God to give me the right way. I'm going to trust God fully. And then look at the next one. This is probably the toughest one. And trust Him enough to follow His teaching. So we trust God to guide us, to give us direction. And then the second one is probably the toughest part of that. It's the application. Is I'm going to trust Him enough to follow His teaching. And see, there's some of you in this room, you already know enough of God's Word. You're just not following it. It's inconvenient. And maybe maybe it's just too different from the way other people do things that you think, I'm going to do it the way everybody else does because I want to fit in. I don't want to look different. I don't want to look weird. But the thing is oftentimes we have to go against the flow. We have to go against the flow of culture. And we have to say, you know what? I want to be different. I want to be different so I can make a difference. So look at what it says here. And this is a great passage out of Proverbs 3. It says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. And I would say this to the mom and dads in the room. This is speaking to you. This is speaking to me. My child, never forget the things I taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. One of the biggest things that people look for and search for is what? Is satisfaction. Man, I just want to be happy. God's Word is telling us right here how we can do that. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. And He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. And then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. There's a lot of meat in that passage. You know, and it might be something good for us as parents to maybe this week take that passage there and begin to kind of digest that and to think through that. And maybe each day we take one of those truths that's in there and we pray and we say, God, I want you to teach me to trust you. God, I want you to teach me to trust you to guide me. Teach me how to follow you in a way that it does make a difference in my family. And so maybe for you guys as parents, and for me as a parent, we go, God, help me to live this out. Help me to find application of your word this week. God, maybe each day I take that and I begin to work on it. Maybe you want to take 2 weeks and work through it. But you begin to take each nugget and you say, God, help me to understand this. And God, help me to apply this truth in my life. And so I'm just saying, for us to be the parents that we need to be, we have got to be willing to make some uncommon decisions. And in this world, I'm just telling you, that's a different mentality. Too often, you know, we look at our kids and we have all these expectations. And, you know, everybody wants their kids to be the best. You know, they want them to make, you know, all-stars. They want them to make honor roll. They want them to do all these things. And we worship that. It can get to the point of we worship our kids. You know, it can get to the point of like they are our focus and everything about life circles around our kids, and they become the idol in our life rather than God being the one true God in our life. Our kids become the idol. And here's the thing, we don't give time to our marriage. We don't give time to our relationship with our spouse. And here's the thing, we rob and we cheat our kids of the greatest gift that we could give them. That is a solid marriage where we love each other completely and we are fully committed and devoted to one another. Yet we rob them of that because we're trying to give them everything that they want. And here's the thing, that's the pattern around us right now. Give your kids everything they want. Give them everything that they could ever desire, and maybe they'll be happy. And your job is to make your kid happy. And I'm just telling you, that's not true. But that's the pattern that we live in. That's the pattern that is preached and taught throughout the media and so many places. But God's Word says that is not the way it functions. And so what we've got to be willing to do is say, God, I want to learn from your Word. God, I want to raise my kids based on your teaching, on your Word. We want our kids to accomplish all these things. And why do we want to do that? Because there's a lot of you in here that you want your kids to be the best athlete, and you were terrible as an athlete. But you expect them to be, you know, the best. Hey, well, I'm going to get them the best coaching. I'm going to get them the best whatever. And you expect them to play at a level you could never play at. What is that? Are you trying to live through them? And maybe some of you guys were not scholars, but you expect your kids to make the best possible grades possible. And you just think, well, you know, they're smarter. I want them to have better than I had. Listen, you blew it. You know, you made C's. You made whatever. And you freak out because of them making one. And you put all this pressure on them and yourself. And so the thing is what we're doing sometimes is we expect so much out of our kids, and we've got to be willing to say, let them be a kid. Doesn't mean let them rule the house. Doesn't mean let them do whatever they want to do. But it means that we are teaching them and we're helping them along the way. But let them be a child. Let them be a kid. This morning, you know, we met with, we had, like I said, about four or five families this morning, and we met with them over in the Discovery Hallway, and we gave them a box, and it had all kinds of things in there. And those parents, they wrote a prayer that they prayed over their baby this morning. So we met over there. We had food in there for breakfast for them. And then they prayed their prayer over their child. And then our elders and our pastors gathered around each of the families, and we prayed a blessing over them. And then we came in here, and then we did a challenge to them. And one of the babies began to cry, and they could tell that mom and dad were a little bit worried about the baby crying. I was like, hey, listen, it's a baby. You know, I mean, this is about them right now and about you. And so that, you know, we have age-appropriate teaching. We have a nursery. So if it were like every week your child is crying or whatever, then take them to the nursery. That's why we have that. We want it to be a loving place for them to be. And there's age-appropriate teaching for a reason at this church. And so the thing is that's okay. But today it was about them. I said, hey, listen, it's a baby. That's okay. And so mom and dad, I would say this. Your children are going to be kids. They're supposed to be. But they're a gift from God that God has challenged us to raise them and to launch them into life. So look down here. There's a couple of things that we have responsibilities as parents to do. We as parents should model love for God and His Word. Mom and Dad, we should model a love for God. And let me kind of back up on that a little bit. I think that we should model for our children what it is to be affectionate towards our spouse. I think that, you know what, I know it grosses our kids out sometimes, but that's part of the fun. You know, so here's the thing is I think Mom and Dad, you know, ought to every once in a while just hug each other, give each other sugar, you know, and in front of the kids, and it'll gross them out a little bit. That's fine. You know, but I think it's important for them to see us holding hands. I think it's important for them to see us hugging each other, to put your arm around her, you know, and to hold each other. I think it's important for them to see that. And they begin to say, you know what, Mom and Dad, they do love each other. They care about each other. They need to hear you compliment one another on a regular basis. They need to hear you speak love and life over your spouse. That's something that we model. Here's the thing. Maybe they'll grow up and they'll do the same thing with their spouse. Because we do learn a lot from our parents. We learn things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. And so I would say, along with that, they ought to see us love on God. Our children ought to see us love on God, that whenever we're here in worship or wherever we are, man, we see a sunset and we go, thank you, God. You know, you've blessed us with this awesome sunset or this awesome sunrise. Or even in worship, they see you lift holy hands unto the Lord and they see you sing a song and maybe even get a tear in your eye because you're so moved by your love for God that you can't hold it in. And maybe your kids ought to see that every once in a while. And they see that you love Him and you believe that, you know what, He is there for them, and He's there for you. And they ought to see you love God. They'll see you, you know, love His Word, that, man, you, first thing you turn to is Scripture. Maybe when questions come up or something happens and you go, well, you know, God's Word says this because you've hid it in your heart, just like it says over here in Proverbs. Those commands are there. And whenever you're going about life and you're teaching, man, you're able to share that with them. I think it's important for our children to see us love God, to see us get moved by song, by the reading of Scripture that we get moved. I mean, there's times, you know, just listening to a song, there's been times when I'm just trying to share the gospel with somebody. I'll get so moved emotionally by just sharing the gospel that I can't hardly get it out. I think it's good for our kids to see us love one another. And I think it's good for them to see us love God and His Word. Here's another thing. We as parents should model clear communication. Clear communication. God has gone out of His way to clearly communicate the gospel to you. He has gone out of His way. Put it this way. Jesus left heaven to come here to communicate the right way to be in right standing with God. And it was through Him. Jesus said, no one gets to the Father except through Me. So God went out of His way to create clear communication with man. Hey, this is the way to a right relationship with God. It's through His Son, Jesus. There's no other way. It's by faith. You can't earn it. You can't do enough good things. It's by faith that we are saved. It is not by works. And so the thing is God is all about clear communication. We should work at that in our marriages. When counseling takes place, there's usually three things that will come up. Three major things always kind of lead to divorce or either are part of the reasons that people point back and say, this is what happened. One is usually a breakdown of communication. They quit communicating. They quit pursuing each other. They quit talking about things. The other one is going to be finances, because finances are out of control and there's stress and there's no stability. And so all of a sudden, they're not talking about finances. So all of a sudden, they're stressed about finances. And that's another. Then intimacy. And not intimacy just as in sex. That is a part of it, but intimacy as in they quit pursuing me. They quit wanting to know about me. So intimacy is into me see, seeing who I am, pursuing me. And so those three things begin to break down. But here's the thing, communication affects all of that. And so one of the things that we ought to work at in our families is our kids ought to see us work at clear communication, communicating our love to our spouse, communicating our love to our children, communicating our love for God. Here's another one, healthy relationships. Our kids need to see healthy relationships. You know, I was listening either last night or this morning to K-Love, and one of the guys who's wrote a song was talking about, he said, man, this world's gone crazy. But here's the thing is, there's still hope, there's still peace, there's still Christ working in the midst of a crazy, chaotic world. And so here's what I'm saying is, our children need to see this ray of hope that, you know what, there's healthy relationships. And that we're always working at getting healthy. You know, and let me just tell you this, relationships are not healthy by accident. It's kind of like physically, you don't get healthy by accident. You have to work at working out. You have to be intentional about the discipline. In the same way in relationships, we have to work at our marriages. We have to work at our relationship with our kids. We have to work at every relationship, our friends. We have to be intentional about that. So we should model that. Here's another, we should model moral standards. Moral standards. I think too often we think that our kids are just going to go out into the world and they're going to figure out right from wrong. No, that's our job. And it's our job as parents to teach them, to equip them, prepare them for what's ahead of them. And so what happens is a lot of times, you know, the world says, hey, man, everything's good. You do whatever you want to. Whatever makes you feel good, you do it. It doesn't matter what, you know, moral compass is. I mean, don't worry about that. The moral compass is you do what you want to do, and you do it anytime you want to do it with anybody you want to do it with, and you just feel good about it. And that's the mentality of this world. That's the pattern that is taught on the very channels that we pay to be brought into our homes. You know, it says, hey, you do whatever you want to do. It promotes the most promiscuous mentality you could imagine. And so we just hope that they'll figure out, that's not it. I know you watch it. I know I pay for it to come in through cable. But I hope that you figure out that that's not it. Mom and Dad, it's your responsibility to talk about what is right and wrong and to teach it. It's important for us to help them understand, hey, listen, you don't act like that. Is that clear? We don't act like that. Let me tell you why. Here, you are being disrespectful or you are being whatever. It is our job to teach those things. That's our responsibility. And we can't shirk on those responsibilities and hope that somebody else will take care of that. They did a survey years ago of some prisons in California. And they asked these prisoners, hey, what are the three things you wish your parents would have done different? And the number one thing that they said they wish they'd have done different is they would have disciplined them. The second was they'd have said they loved them. The third is that they would have said no. Those are prisons filled with people, young people, you know, boys and girls that are incarcerated for however long. And they're saying, I wish that my mom and dad would have disciplined. I wish that my mom and dad would have said they love me. I wish that my mom and dad would have said no. And so here's what I'm telling you. Our kids need us to be a boundary. They need us to be healthy boundaries in their life and to help them establish some healthy boundaries. It is our responsibility. We don't think anything of that. If they're a little kid and there's a road out there and there's traffic going everywhere, we don't think anything about trying to keep them from getting in that road. But whenever they become teenagers, it's like, hey, I just hope you figure out how to get across that road on your own. We've got to be willing to say, hey, listen, it's our job to help them with moral standards. We've got to be willing to help out whenever possible. Kindness to others. We need to model kindness to others. Our kids need to see that we know what it's like to bless someone, to be kind to someone. I told you last week, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. And there's just something special about getting a blessing out of the blue. And here's the thing is, just blessing someone and going looking, trying to figure, hey, who did that? Who did that? It's such an awesome thing to be on the receiving end, but it's an even better thing to be on the giving end of that. And so you get to bless someone. So maybe your kids get to see you be kind to someone. They know that someone's going through a tough time, so you go to cut their grass, or maybe you bake them a cake, or maybe, and I know all that stuff sounds old-fashioned. Let me just say I know that. But what if you were to do something that was a blessing to someone who's going through a tough time? I'm just telling you, God will bless you, and you'll be teaching your kids about kindness. You'll be teaching them. Maybe your waitress or your waiter is going through they're having a tough day, and there's that part of you that, you just feel like God's put it on your heart. And maybe you, instead of just giving them a tip, you double that tip. Or maybe you give them a bigger tip than you've ever given anybody. And your kids, and you get to tell them, hey, listen, you know what? I think our waiter's having a bad day. Why don't we bless them like crazy big today? And what do y'all think? And so here's the thing. They get to see you bless somebody. Modeling kindness. Hey, and you could even do that while you're driving down the road. Somebody cuts you off. You say, you know what? Maybe they need to get there quicker than we did. Let them see kindness for a change. All right, so humility. Maybe our kids need to see humility. That, we don't always have to be first. It doesn't have to always be where I want to eat lunch. It doesn't have to always be about what I want or what TV show I want to see. But maybe they see you model humility. That you consider others better than yourself. Maybe you even put others in front of you first. And so maybe we should model that. That's what Jesus did. And then serving others. I think it's important for our children to see us serving others. Not just blessing them every once in a while, but to serve them. One of the things I love about our nursery over here that watches our children. I don't know if you realize this, but there's ladies in there and people in there that pray over those kids. I've told our children's workers through the years, whenever somebody comes in, I want you to pray over them. Now, you don't have to stop and go, Lord, I just want to pray over these people. That's not what we tell them to do. But whenever they come in, we want them to speak to the children first and then speak to the parent. And then in their heart of hearts and their mind, just begin to pray a blessing over that parent. If that parent can come in here and hear the gospel. That parent can come in here and be encouraged or challenged. But that baby will be blessed and taken care of. And so there's people over there that are changing diapers today. And they're taking care of kids. That's what you call serving. You're serving those who can't take care of themselves. And so whenever we have that mentality, here's what I'm saying. Maybe we teach our kids something. And so maybe if you're not serving in any capacity, then maybe it's time for you to step up as a parent and say, you know what? You look over at your wife, or you look over at your husband and say, you know what, we need to be serving. Every week it takes 130-something people to do what happens here at Journey Church just as far as volunteers. And so every week we have people serving. And in so many ways that a lot of you guys don't even have a clue. But there's people that serve and they give. And often, sometimes they serve alongside their children. And their children are serving. We've got so many young people that serve here that, it's a blessing to this pastor, I'm going to tell you that. But it's because their parents usually are serving. And so, mom and dad, if your kids don't understand the word serving, maybe you ought to model it for them. Maybe you ought to give that a shot. You know, it's one of the things that we talk about here. Come. You know, I mean, we want you to connect, grow, and serve. And so next week we have the connect class. You can go to the membership class next week. You can get involved in that. Grow. We want to see you growing. That's something you ought to model for your kids. And then serving. Using your gifts, your abilities, your skills to serve other people. And then commitment. You know, one of the things that we ought to model for our kids is commitment. Honoring our marriage covenant. Honoring the vows that we made. Honoring the promises that we made to each other and to God in front of witnesses and friends. And so we ought to honor commitment. We ought to honor what we say we will do. We ought to try to do everything that's in our power to honor our word, to be on time, to be at something. And so we ought to work at that. And so here's the thing. The single greatest lesson parents teach their kids isn't anything they say, it's what they do. It's what you do. So it doesn't matter how often I say what is right. If I don't do what's right, I disqualify my words. It doesn't matter what I preach from this pulpit. If I don't try to live that out in my day-to-day life, I'm disqualified. And let me just say this. I want to give full disclosure. I'm not a perfect parent. I want you guys to know I have blown it through the years. You know, I'm teaching you what I feel like God's Word says. But you know what? I'm constantly, I've got three boys, Hunter, Zach, and Christian, that I love. Hunter just turned 22. Zach is 18. Christian's 15. And I love those boys. And I'm talking about immensely love them. So I do everything I can to try to raise them the way that I feel like God's Word has taught me. But I'll go ahead and tell you, there's been times I've got off the pattern. And I've messed up and I've blown it. There's been times I've had to go to them and ask them, hey, will you forgive me? Because we blow it. We mess up. And so the thing is, we've got to be willing to say, God, teach me. Change me. Transform me. Help me to be the man that I'm supposed to be so that I can lead my family. Help me to be that kind of guy so that I can love my wife. And let me just say, as a woman, you have to do the same thing. God, change me, transform me, teach me so that I can love my husband, so that I can love my kids. And I'm just telling you, the best gift that you could ever give your kids, if you're a mom and dad in here, is to love your spouse the way that God says to love them. Too often, we love our kids more than our spouse. We put our kids before everything. And here's the thing, we damage our kids. We're cheating them. And so we've got to be willing to say, God, I want you to teach me how to love my spouse so I can give my kids the best gift ever. If they grow up knowing that you love each other and you love God, I'm telling you, you're giving them stability. You're giving them a solid foundation. Next statement, our next decision here, deciding to discipline according to God's model instead of the world's model. Now, for some of you, you just went into wig out mode because I talked about discipline. But let me just tell you, in the world that we live in today, it's almost like there shouldn't be any discipline whatsoever, which is the most crazy teaching that's out there. But some of you may have already embraced that. I've met many people through the years in churches who were good Christian people who didn't believe in any form of discipline. And I'm sitting there thinking, have you read the Bible? I know you may have accepted Christ, but have you read the Bible lately? I mean, do you understand that there is truth in here that we are to be applying to our life? And understand this, discipline is different for every child. I know some of you guys are thinking, all right, well, he's just talking about spanking. No, there's all kinds of discipline. There are some kids that discipline is a strong word. You know, and sometimes we just say, well, that's the way my kid responds. And everybody else around you is going, no, it ain't working, dude. But the thing is discipline can be a strong word. It can be taking a privilege away. It can be taking something away. And sometimes it is spanking. The Bible says, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. You ruin the child. And so the thing is it's biblical that we understand that sometimes there's discipline that involves a spanking or a whipping, if you want to call it. That sounds terrible. I know some of y'all are freaking out, especially some of you young moms, but I'm just saying it is truth. It is truth. So let's look and see what God's Word has to say about that. Discipline is a God thing. It says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's disciplines, and don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as a child, as His child. As you endure this discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Who ever heard of a child who was never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our heavenly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing what they thought best, the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And so here, you know, the writer in Hebrews is making it clear. God loves us. He disciplines us. And there's some of you in this room that maybe God has had to discipline you. Maybe He's had to humble you. Maybe He's had to break you. Maybe He's even had to crush you. You know, because here's the thing is God loves us, and God, and it says here, all of His discipline is for good. And so God loves us enough that He's willing to spank us, to discipline us, to humble us if need be. You know, I can remember through the years with our boys, and discipline was one of the toughest things. And I can remember, you know, as a parent, you know, or as a child, I can remember people saying, hey, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I'm thinking, whatever, that's just baloney. It's full of baloney. But I can remember the first couple of times with my oldest child having to spank him. Man, it was killing me. I mean, I didn't want to do it, but it's one of the things I felt like, you know, this is something that needs to happen. Something's got to give. And so I can remember sitting there, you know, and I'd bring Hunter in. I would explain to him why we were doing this discipline, why he was going to get disciplined. And then I would spank him or whatever, and I would say, I would hold him, and I would hug him, and I'd say, hey, listen, I love you too much to let you be bad. I said, do you understand that? You know, he's crying or whatever, you know. And oftentimes, whenever they would come in, they didn't want to hear. It was almost like the telling them why was worse than the spanking. You know what I'm saying? It was almost like, just go ahead and spank me. You go ahead and get it over with. You know, but the thing is they were struggling with that. And so, but I wanted them to understand there is a why behind this. And I'm just telling you, if you're a loving parent, you have to discipline your kid. Bible makes it clear. If you don't love them, hey, do whatever. But if you really love them, you're going to do everything you can to keep them in line with the principles and the compass that God has given us. You're going to do everything you can to keep them from shame. You're going to do everything you can to keep them out of a jail or a prison. You're going to do everything you can to teach them what is right. And you're going to do it hopefully in a loving, godly way. I remember times when we would be in stores, you know, and our boys would kind of get out of control. And I'd say, hey, look, and I'd give them a couple of verbal warnings, and that was it. And let me just tell you, one of the things that we do as parents, we're the worst about lying. Was, hey, listen, you do that one more time, you're getting a spanking. And then they do it 10 more times, and we still haven't done anything. Here's the thing, you're the biggest liar in the room. And so the thing is that whatever you say you're going to do, do it. Model for your kids integrity, character for a change, you know. Say, hey, listen, yeah, if you do that one more time, that's it. And then one more time, they realize, you know what, that's the boundary. Daddy says one time, that's it. And so here's the thing, that we've been in stores before, and I say, hey, listen, let's go to the bathroom. I don't need to go to the bathroom, Daddy. Oh, yeah, you do. And so we would go to the bathroom, you know, and we would take care of business back there, and we would come out. But even there, I'm saying, hey, listen, let me tell you why this is happening. We're not going to do that again. You hear me? You're not going to be disrespectful. You're not going to do. And so it is our job as parents to teach them. And I know some of you guys go, Mike, that's so old school. You're right. It's biblical, dude. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it is biblical for us to teach them. It is biblical for us to discipline them. It goes way back. And so the thing is we've got to understand that is our responsibility. And so I'm just telling you as a parent, don't put that responsibility on somebody else. It is your job. Don't expect somebody else to have to discipline your kids. Because later down the line, it will be the police. It will be somebody else who has to discipline your child because you wouldn't. And I'll tell you this, if you're one of those who you're like, well, you know, my husband's the big heavy, you're cheating on your responsibilities. Mom and Dad, you're to be unified. You're to be one. And so if you're always making the other parent, the other spouse, be the big heavy, it's because you're not person enough or man enough or woman enough or whatever to accept your responsibilities. You should do it together. And say, well, you know, he does the heavy and I'm the consoler. That's baloney. What you've got to be willing to do is say, you know what, we are one. My kids, even now, there's times whenever they'll come to me and say, Daddy, can I do this? Or Mom, can I do this? They'll go to different ones. And what we do is, hey, let me talk to your mom or let me talk to your dad and we'll let you know. Because what happens with kids, because I worked it this way, is I went to the one that I figured would probably say yes every time. You know, and oftentimes I would ask them and wouldn't ask the other one, and it worked to my advantage. And so here's the thing, your kids who seem so precious, they will do the same thing. Some of you guys who are laughing did the same thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So here's what I'm saying is your kids need to see a unified front. They need to see that Mom and Dad are together. They need to see that Mom and Dad are in love. They need to see that Mom and Dad care for one another. And you know what? That we are children and they are married. And so they need to understand that. Here's what you're doing. You're teaching them healthy boundaries. And so let them see that you're together. And so if you're the one that keeps passing, you say, you just wait till your dad gets home, you're doing a terrible job of building up the image of those kids' father in the eyes of those children. So, Mom, if that's you, you need to change that. Goes back up here, change that pattern. Dad, if you're saying, hey, well, you just wait till your mama gets home, then Dad, grow a spine and you take care of your responsibilities. You need to start doing that together, consoling together and disciplining together. That is our responsibility. Don't put it on one or the other. So discipline is a God thing. Here's some guidelines for discipline. Never discipline in anger. And that is a tough one. Because a lot of times that your kid has just humiliated you. Your kid has just done exactly what you told him not to do. And so that's a tough one. But here's the thing. You may have to count. Just like, you know, you tell a kid, hey, go over and sit down and count. You may sit there 1, 2, 3, 4. You may have to count to 100. Whatever it may take. But here's the thing. You have to discipline yourself as a parent. Say, you know what? I'm not going to discipline in anger. That's why for me, whenever I went in and sat down with my kids and I would talk to them about why, it was a whole lot better. But I'm just telling you, you will blow it if you do it in anger. Anger is not of God. It's not the way to do it. So we've got to be careful. Never discipline in anger. And let me tell you, I have blown it on that one. I confess that to you guys. I have blown it on that one. And that's one I've had to go to my kids. My son one day was distant. And I went to him. I said, hey, tell me what's going on. And whenever he began to tell me, you know what? It crushed me because he was right. I was wrong. And I said, I confess to you, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And began a healing between the two of us. But here's the thing is, parents, we're going to blow it. We're going to mess up. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But the thing is, our kids aren't perfect either. And we've got to be willing to say, you know what? Hey, I want to ask you to forgive me. So never discipline in anger. Pick your battles. Not everything is worthy of a battle. There's some things you just got to let a kid be a kid. And then there's some things you better draw the line. You know, and you know, I know sometimes we battle this. If you've ever been through Raising Boys by Dr. James Dobson, he talks about, you know, I think sometimes parents expect their boys to act like their little girls. They're not wired that way. They're not designed that way. And I'm not saying that boys will be boys and girls will be girls. I'm just saying that you need to understand how God has hardwired your child. That's your responsibility. Live with them in such a way that you begin to understand them, their temperaments, their personalities, what, you know, you might be able to take away that will change their direction. You know, and maybe that's how you discipline. Maybe it's time out. Maybe it's taking something away. Maybe it's blessing. The right things is the right motivation. All right, realize that even children need to express anger from time to time, like I just shared. My son needed to tell me what was bothering him. And so give them an opportunity. Let them talk. They don't have to be disrespectful. But the thing is they can share their heart, and you need to listen. And then look at this next one. Choose the best time and place to discipline. Always discipline in private when possible. If I was, at a store, we went to a restroom. You know, in our home, we went to the bedroom and we'd sit down and we'd talk. And so I think it's important for us to do that. And then there's other times whenever, you know, you just got to be willing to say, you know what, it's not a convenient time. But the worst thing sometimes is say, hey, you just wait till we get home and it's a 4-hour drive. That kid's back here like, can we just pull over and handle this now? You know, so you have to be, you know, understanding, hey, what is the best thing? Probably to pull over and go ahead and deal with issues there. And so make sure that you're being wise about it. And look at this last one. This is good. Choose your words carefully and speak in a soft tone of voice. That's a tough one because you're already angry. You're already rattled. You're already upset or whatever. And so a lot of times it turns into a yelling and screaming match. Because here's the thing. That's what was modeled for me when I was a kid. That's the way my house operated. You know, and so I had to learn, hey, you know, that is not the right way to do it. So some of you guys grew up the same thing I did. And you got to say, you know, well, God's word says something different. Look at what God's word says. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Maybe I ought to learn how to disagree on things. Maybe I ought to learn how to talk in a civil tone. Maybe I ought to change some things. And let me tell you, it's so easy to go right back to the flesh. But if we're saying that we want to be led by the Spirit, then we've got to be willing to say, God, change me. Change the way I think. Change the way I've been living. Change my pattern. And then here it says, discipline your children because of a healthy love for God, your children, and others. See, the discipline of your children affects everybody. The lack of children, a lack of discipline for your children affects everybody. I want you to understand this too. God wants us to discipline the way that He has given us as a pattern. He disciplines us. And He loves me more than I could ever love my kids. My Heavenly Father loves my children more than I could ever love them. And He loves your kids more than you could ever love them. So the pattern that He gives us is a good pattern. The love that He gives us for our kids, it comes from Him. And so we've got to be willing to say, God, I want to love my kids because of You and for You. And God, I want to discipline them. And so that's really what discipline is. Discipline is loving them enough to discipline. So it's for God, it's for your children. You want them to be the best they can be. But you want to help them. And then here's the thing. Don't make everybody else pay for the lack of discipline in your home. And then look at this, these last steps and we'll be done. Next steps for me today. I commit to learn more of God's Word so that I can teach my children. And I think this is a good one. Maybe for mom and dad, you say today, you say, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment to read a little bit of the Bible each day. Or I'm going to make a commitment to be in a Bible study, to learn more about God's Word so that I can teach my children. Because the Bible, you know, it teaches us up here, you know, it teaches us to teach our children when we rise and when we sleep. You know, as we're walking the road is what Scripture says, but now you guys drive everywhere. So as you're driving down the road, you're talking about God's Word. You're talking about the things of God. You're talking about, you know, maybe something comes up and your kid tells you about what's going on at school and say, well, how did you respond to that? And they say, well, da-da-da-da. You say, well, you know, well, the Bible says this. And because you've hid God's commands in your heart, like it says over here in Proverbs, you're able to share with them from the overflow of your heart what God has been teaching you. And so that's what we're doing. Mom and Dad, I don't know if you realize, but we're a little bit ahead of them. And, you know, and we get to teach them and equip them for the works. And we hope that they miss some of the pitfalls that we went through. But some of them, you know, they're going to be hard-headed. They're going to learn the same way you did. And I know that that breaks our hearts, but they're going to make the same dumb decisions. They don't have to, but some of them will choose to. And so I commit to learn more from God's Word so that I can teach my children. Look at this next one. I will model commitment to my family. And I gave you an example here by attending Journeys Connect class on the 22nd. Some of you guys haven't committed to a church. You haven't committed to serving. And so I'm giving you an opportunity. Next Sunday, after the second service, we will have our membership class. We call it Connect. And it's a way to get connected here at the church. And we talk about connecting. We talk about a relationship with God in there. And we talk about, you know, the next week it talks about growth. The next week it talks about serving. And so maybe for some of you, it's time to say, you know what? Let's commit to a church. Let's commit. Let's get engaged. Let's get involved. Let's quit just kind of coming in and attending and kind of hanging out. Let's get committed. And so maybe a good way to model commitment for your kids would be for them to see you commit to something. And here's the thing, wholeheartedly, to the point of maybe you're working in the children's area if you pass some background checks and stuff. You know, but maybe you're helping out in that area. Maybe you're serving. Maybe you're making a difference. Next time we do a serve day, maybe you're leading a team. But your kids see you commit to something and then follow through. Because like I said, what we do is we ride our kids about being better athletes, better whatever. And here's the thing is, we want them to honor everything, but we don't do that. We've got to be realistic. But maybe model commitment. And then here's the last one. Is maybe today, your uncommon decision would be, is I decide to follow Christ completely. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when I'm around my Christian friends. But God, I want to honor you in every area. I want to commit my life to Christ fully. I want to be fully devoted follower of Christ. And so maybe there's some sense. Maybe there's some of you, there's something else you feel like God has put on your heart. Maybe for some of you moms and dads, you realize that earlier God began to kind of press the button in your heart and say, hey, you know what? You need to go to your kid and ask them to forgive you for not doing this or not doing that. Or maybe for some of you, you realize, you know what? I need to love them enough to discipline them. And God, I need you to change the way I'm thinking because that's not the way I was raised. God, that's not what I've been watching. That's not what I've been seeing. But God, I want what is truth and I want what will last forever. Two things will last forever. Maybe you know what they are, but souls of men. Two things will last forever. The souls of men in one place called heaven or one place called hell. Two things will last forever. The souls of men and the Word of God are the two things that will last forever. So if we teach our children the Word of God, we have built them, we have given them a good foundation. If we lead them to Christ, we have taken care of the soul issue for eternity. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes.